What's going on, everyone, and good morning. Today is Tuesday, September 10th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. So today, once again, the Eagles still relaxing and recovering from that long trip to Brazil, their win over the Packers. They are not yet returning to practice. There will be no practice today as they don't play until next Monday against the Atlanta Falcons. So while I'm sure some and most players are in the facility either lifting, you know, watching film, recovering, those type of things, they probably won't officially practice until Thursday. So no practice today, no press conferences, none of that stuff. It'll be a quiet day from the NovaCare in that regard. So outside of that, the injury report, also nothing. Doesn't seem like the Eagles suffered any bad injuries during their win over the Packers. Again, we'll find out more on Thursday, see who's practicing, who isn't, see if Isaiah Rodgers is back, see if Devin White's back. That'll be a big one to see if Devin White is out there at practice. But as of now, no new injury news to report. So the beginning of the pod, how we always start, the schedule and the injury report, not much there. But here's what you need to know for your day as you begin your glorious Tuesday and get ready for this upcoming game. The weather, by the way, is football weather. Like, Sunday felt like football weather. Monday morning felt like football weather. So if you're listening to this on a Tuesday morning, hopefully it's football weather as well. You know, get the jacket out, get the hoodie. It's getting nice. It's feeling like truly football time. So outside of the schedule and the injury report, let's get into what happened on Monday. And we finally heard from Nick Sirianni for the first time since the Eagles win over the Packers. Sirianni did speak right after the game. But let's be honest, he was mostly talking about what the experience was like in Brazil. He took a lot of questions from Brazilian reporters and didn't really dive into the game because he hadn't had a chance to rewatch it yet. But he has now rewatched the game, I'd assume, multiple times. And he had some things to say, a lot of things to say, but three sound clips I think you really need to hear. And I have some thoughts on are one on Mekhi Becton and Cam Jurgens. He had something interesting to say about the snap count between the defensive ends, and then his take on Jalen Hurts and his turnover. So let's start with what Sirianni had to say about Mekhi Becton and Cam Jurgens. Here's what he had to say during his press conference.
I thought they did a nice job. I think Mekhi is so big. And what you saw there with Mekhi on Friday night was, you know, he was controlling the guy. Like, he was going against good players, right? That's a good front. And he was controlling them at the line of scrimmage, and there wasn't a lot of pushback into Jalen's face because he's so big and so long that he was able to control there. And so I thought Mekhi did a really nice job, particularly in the pass game, of keeping the pocket firm inside. Cam, you know, had some really nice plays. You know, Cam did, there was a couple plays where Cam's getting that initial hit, whether he's working with Landon or whether he's working with Mekhi, and then getting off to that second level. I think the one that play that really comes to mind is Saquon's touchdown run where, you know, it looks like, you know, him and Mekhi are working a combination block, and Cam really just gets that block in with him, that mate block, as we call it, in with him, all right, to get him up into the second level. And so I thought those were really good plays there. And, you know, obviously, anytime you put the ball on the ground two times, you know, won't get it, you know, there's a miscommunication there, and we can't put the ball on the ground two times. Cam and Jalen touched the ball on every down. And so we got to make sure we're taking care of that football. But as far as those two guys playing, you know, their first game at those positions, now Cam's played that position his entire life. It'd be fair to say that Cam was not out of position, but playing a new position last year. And so Cam, center for Cam, is very natural. But I thought Mekhi did a really nice job, you know, his first game starting at guard.
So I would mostly agree with Sirianni on this. I did think that considering it's Becton's first time playing the position, he definitely played better than I thought he would. As I said on the recap pod after rewatching the game, there were two plays where I thought he gave up some kind of pressure. He did let some pressure up the middle. For the most part, I thought he played really well going against some really good defensive tackles, which we talked about leading up to the game. So I agree with Sirianni. I thought Becton played well. My guy Ike Reese on WIP was saying maybe Becton will be an all-pro this year, Pro Bowl guy. And hey, With Stoutland U, who knows? I've voiced my concerns. I'll definitely be happy to put my hand up and say I was wrong. And one weekend, it looks like I could be wrong because I thought Becton was really good in that first game. So agreed with Sirianni on that. As far as Cam, you know, he did mention the fumbles, and I think that's a big part of it because outside of the fumbles, I thought Juergens played really well. Pro Football Focus had him ranked as the ninth best center in pass protection this past week. Becton, by the way, was ranked 11th, which was actually higher than Landon Dickerson. So two of the Eagles, three interior guys, the two guys with the biggest questions too, were ranked inside the top 11 from all the guards and centers last week in pass protection, according to Pro Football Focus. Cam Juergens only let up the one hurry. And again, there were the two fumbles. So I'm excited to talk to Cam this week about what happened on those fumbles, kind of what the teaching points are. But they are concerning. Like, now you would think fumbling and getting the snap off is one of the easier things to fix. Now, if you would have struggled in pass protection and the snaps were great, I don't think anybody would be being like, well, that's a major positive. But it's something he needs to work on. So agreed with Sirianni overall on that. The other thing Sirianni talked about was, this is on the defensive side of the ball, the snap counts between Bryce Huff, Brandon Graham, and Nolan Smith. Here's what Sirianni had to say.
What factored into Bryce Huff getting fewer snaps than Brandon Graham and Nolan Smith?
Yeah, just the way the snap counts went for that day. Sometimes you're in a drive. Like, there's different reasons for, you know, how the drive's going. If they're going and they were going on the ball, you know, at certain points. So, like, some of those plays can kind of build up, you know, in that game with the style of game it was and with some of the tempo that was happening. Those guys, I don't know exactly how many more reps was it, Jeff?
I think it was just a couple for Brandon and one for Nolan. This is the guy that you gave 51.
Yeah, I know, but when it's that close, when it's like one more or two more, I mean, that the context of that, you know, I didn't know exactly what it was, but yeah, I mean, it's a couple more and just like with the catches or with the ball, the touches, that can go different ways each game. I knew it wasn't that much more, so okay.
Yeah. I know that you said that, you know, and maybe Vic has said this too, that it's a new scheme for him. Is that, sure. Is that, you know, and Huff didn't really produce much.
But
are you guys concerned?
Yeah, no, not at all. Again, like I said, Jeff, it's just the way kind of sometimes the way it goes. And again, you want to keep guys fresh as how it goes and throughout the game, pardon me. But sometimes that's very similar to how, like, you know, the touches on offense go as well.
Yeah, so I know Sirianni wants to downplay it. That's what he's going to do, but it's not good. I mean, Bryce Huff was their top priority free agent. I think if you would have told them they could sign only one free agent, Bryce Huff or Saquon, I think they would have picked Bryce Huff. It might have been Saquon, especially if you look at how they used him in week one. But when you consider how they value positions, what positions they value and put resources into, edge is definitely one they always have, and he was their top signing. So I don't think they expected, when they signed Bryce Huff, for Brandon Graham to be playing more snaps than him in week one. Now, to Sirianni's point, it's not a huge difference. Bryce Huff played 30 snaps. Nolan Smith played 31. Brandon Graham played 32. And he can talk about how the game expressed itself and how it played out and all these things. It reminds me a lot of, in training camp in 2023, I believe it was. I guess it would have been 2022. When Miles Sanders was splitting time in training camp snaps with Kenny Gainwell. And the question was asked, and it was, oh, this is how it's playing itself out. Well, during the year, Gainwell ended up playing quite a bit. The bottom line is they put the players out there that they want out there. They, you know, I understand there could be maybe five or six snaps where you don't have time to substitute and all those things. But Bryce Huff was supposed to be the top edge rusher on this team by a wide margin. He was supposed to be the Hassan Reddick replacement. Brandon Graham, as good as Brandon's played, and frankly, Brandon might be better. So I'm not, if they're going to play the best players, I get that, but that is a bad sign for Bryce Huff. Brandon Graham should not be taking more snaps in week one than Bryce Huff. The fact that that happened tells you, A, something has gone wrong, and B, that you know, going forward, this is definitely something to monitor. I was really surprised by that. Nolan Smith as well, being ahead of Bryce Huff. I mean, Nolan Smith played almost every snap in the preseason, or at least a large percentage of them. So it's pretty clear that Vic Fangio does not feel Bryce Huff is ready to take a large amount of snaps. And while I do ultimately can respect, play the guys you think are most ready to play, put the guys out there you trust if you're Vic Fangio, the Eagles gave this guy millions and millions of dollars. I think it was like 30-something guaranteed along those lines. You can't give a free agent that. I mean, imagine if on the other side of the ball, Kenny Gainwell had outsnapped Saquon Barkley. People would be losing their minds. So there is no justifying it. Like, Bryce Huff didn't play more snaps than those two because they don't see a big difference between the three at this point. That's basically what it comes down to. And it is worrisome for sure, because they need an edge rusher to be special this year. They've had Hassan Reddick kind of carry the edge rush pass rush over the past few years. They just don't have that from a guy this year so far through week one. So later in the week, we'll get into the matchup against the Falcons offensive line. They do have one really good tackle in Jake Matthews. But outside of that, it is a line that they could potentially get pressure on. So next week, the snaps for Bryce Huff are definitely worth monitoring and to see how he plays as well against the Falcons. So the final piece of audio I wanted to play you is Sirianni on Jalen's turnovers. Obviously, Jalen had the two interceptions. You know, he could have had a few more. Here's what Nick had to say.
Obviously, we're hyper focused on the football. We talk about the football a lot. You know, Jalen touches the ball every down, and so obviously you never want turnovers. You know, he's trying to make a play, but we gotta take care of the football, and he's gonna want those plays back. You know, obviously both of them are in third and long scenarios, so. You know, being able to take what the defense gives them in those scenarios is going to be key. Not concerned. He made a lot of good plays in this game. Like we talked about the 4 minute, even with some of these plays that didn't go his way, he made a lot of really good plays. You know, a bunch of throws that, you know, the touchdown throw to AJ, the touchdown throw to Saquon, the 4 minute throws to Devontae, like there's a bunch of plays there. You know, there was a fourth down throw that he made, fourth and three, where I thought he really made a really good throw to keep the drive alive on our 2 minute drive at the end of the half to Devontae. And so made a lot of good plays. Listen, we all have a lot of things to clean up, myself, you know, coaches included. We got a lot of things to clean up that we want to do better. But just in those scenarios, you know, being able to take what the defense gives us is going to be probably the main coaching point that we talked to him about. But again, made a lot of big time plays in that game that helped put that game in our favor.
Yeah. So again, I know Nick, you know, it's a lot of truth in what he's saying, that there were really good plays outside of the turnovers, and he was good at the end of the game situation. There's no question about that. The throws to AJ for the throw to AJ for the touchdown, the throw to Saquon for the touchdown, very good throws. But of all the quarterbacks that played last week, and this is heading into Monday night, so it doesn't count Aaron Rodgers, Brock Purdy, of all the quarterbacks, oh, none of them had more turnover-worthy plays, according to Pro Football Focus. They had Jalen down with four turnover-worthy plays. Of course, the two interceptions that he threw, and then the two near interceptions. The one that was right before the throw to AJ that was intercepted along the sideline that could have been a pick six. That's the third turnover-worthy play. And then one that got a little under discussed is on that game-winning drive where they held it for like 7 minutes to close the game out. He nearly threw an interception on that drive. It was up to AJ to bat that thing away. So those were the four turnover-worthy plays. They're not even pinning the two fumbles on him. They're pinning those on Cam. But ultimately, no quarterbacks in the league had more turnover-worthy plays than Jalen did last year. In fact, second was Kirk Cousins. So heading into next Monday night, it could be a turnover-filled game. But while I understand what Nick is talking about, I do think it was noteworthy when he said the defense has to, you know, you have to take what the defense is giving you. And that is what Jalen did in camp. It is. So it was surprising to see him come out and be so reckless with the ball and take such big chances with it. So, yeah, I mean, I agree with most of what Sirianni's saying. I'm sure, and I hope that behind the scenes, he's being more critical on Jalen for making those decisions. It's now been a 10-game sample size of Jalen being reckless with the ball. This isn't just one game. This isn't, you know, two, three games. This is 10 games. That's almost a full season. It's over half a season of games dating back to last year where he's been reckless with the ball. So, definitely something that has to be worked on moving forward. The more I think about the game and the win over the Packers, you leave it with two major, not major concerns, but you leave it feeling good about the receivers, good about the back seven on defense, better about the offensive line, great about Saquon. you don't leave feeling great about the pass rush or Jalen. And those are obviously two major components they're going to need great play from if they're going to go all the way this year and win the Super Bowl. So that is it from Sirianni. Like I said, nothing else really happened on Monday. It was a pretty slow news day for the Eagles. But on the other side, it's time to turn the page. It's time to turn the page to the Atlanta Falcons and start previewing the Eagles' Monday night game against the Falcons coming up. So first, a word from our sponsors. Okay, so the Atlanta Falcons, the week two opponent on Monday night. First of all, the atmosphere should be crazy on Monday night. They're bringing Nick Foles back. It's a primetime game. It's the first game at the Link. I am super, super pumped to get there, get to the pregame show, interview Foles. Like, I can't wait. But let's dive into the opponent themselves in the Atlanta Falcons. So the Falcons last week lose to the Pittsburgh Steelers. They only scored 10 points in the game. They lost 18-10. Really ugly game. I rewatched it. Neither team played great. The Falcons offense didn't look good. Justin Fields, boy, he did not play well. For the whole Justin Fields versus Kenny Pickett thing, I thought Kenny Pickett has looked better in a Steelers uniform than Justin Fields did on Sunday. So an ugly game for the Falcons, an ugly loss for the Falcons for sure in their home opener. But the position I want to dive into today is let's not start at the lines. Let's start in the secondary. The Eagles receivers versus the Falcons corner. So first, a quick note on the Eagles receivers. They lived up to the hype last week. AJ Brown, unbelievable. Devontae Smith, unbelievable. Jahad Dotson didn't really get involved for sure, but you saw that those top two are going to be a really, really borderline impossible matchup for almost any secondary that they go up against. So the Falcons secondary, they have a real kind of hit and miss group of players on their team. They have some super elite talent, and then they have some guys that the Eagles can really take advantage of. So let's start at cornerback. AJ Terrell Jr. Was a high draft pick, has had some really good years in the NFL, has had some years where he could be considered one of the best corners, or, you know, top five, top 10 corners in the NFL. Didn't have a great year last year, 39th in coverage according to Pro Football Focus. He's someone that does move all around. You look at where he lines up on the left and right side, which shows he's traveling and covering the team's top receiver. It'll be interesting to see if they try to have him do that with AJ. And this is where the advantage of having two elite receivers is. If AJ Terrell follows AJ Brown, then Devontae should have another great matchup because Mike Hughes, their other starting outside corner, is really there to be taken advantage of. Mike Hughes is one of the worst starting corners in the NFL. Last year, he was one of the worst graded corners, according to Pro Football Focus. He just joined the Falcons last year. This is his second year. What was interesting, he did take a lot of snaps in the slot last year. They kind of moved him around. Purely on the outside, he might be a little better positioned to do well there. But this is a matchup that whoever's across him, whether it's Devontae, whether it's AJ, whether on some snaps it's Dotson, they have to win that matchup because AJ Terrell, you know, in theory could do well against AJ Brown or Devontae Smith. I still think that's a matchup where AJ Brown and Devontae are better than AJ Terrell. You certainly don't ignore that side of the field. Like last week, with Jair Alexander probably not as good as AJ Terrell, but what you could do last week is, and they did end up doing it, but you could kind of just say, all right, we're going to attack the Packers' other corners. I think that's also a potential game plan here because Mike Hughes, not that great, you know, one of the worst corners in the NFL starting. And then their nickel corner, D. Alford, he was not great last year either. 46 in coverage. He traditionally plays basically all nickel. It's where he's lined up the majority of the time. It's where he lined up last week. So if you can get AJ or Devontae in the slot against D. Alford, that's a matchup the Eagles will love and will certainly try to take advantage of. I think once again, Dotson, this is a good matchup for him. I know he didn't get any targets or catches last week, but once again, a matchup where I think he can really win. So the Eagles corners versus the Eagles receivers versus the Falcons corners specifically is a good matchup for the Eagles. And that'll be the case most week. Now what's different about this team as compared to most teams, and especially last week with the Packers, who had one really good safety in McKinney, and he certainly made Jalen pay with that interception. The Falcons have two really good safeties. First of all, Jesse Bates is right up there with McKinney. Bates is elite, elite. He is one of, if not the best safeties in the NFL. He had six interceptions last year alone. The Falcons went out and signed Justin Simmons, a guy that we all thought the Eagles should sign, and I still think they probably made a mistake not signing him. You know, it's noteworthy he waited so long to sign with somebody, but I still think Justin Simmons is a really good safety. I know he didn't have a great year last year, But he still had three interceptions. And if you look at what this duo of safeties does, they absolutely take the ball away. The two of them, Jesse Bates and Justin Simmons, have combined for 19 interceptions over the last 3 years. Last year, they combined for 9 interceptions. That's a really good number for a set of safeties. So last week, Jalen struggled deep over the middle of the field. That's where he had his interception. He threw another interception going across his body back to the middle of the field. Jesse Bates and Justin Simmons will make Hurts pay if he puts the ball in harm's way. And again, number one in the league in week one in turnover-worthy plays. So while there are really good matchups for the Eagles receivers against those corners, Jesse Bates and Justin Simmons could neutralize that somewhat, because if they're, you know, playing too high safety, if they're keeping one to AJ's side, or if they're, you know, shadowing maybe Justin Simmons towards Devontae's side, like, they will make Jalen pay for passes that don't have enough on him, for passes he kind of lets hang up there, for passes he's late on. That is a really good set of safeties they have. So overall, I give the matchup advantage to the Eagles. I do think, just frankly, with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, you really like the matchup against anybody. But the Falcons do have really talented players in the secondary. So that'll be the key to taking advantage of it. When you get one-on-one against Mike Hughes, when you get one-on-one against D. Alford, and the safeties are either coming on a blitz or Justin Simmons in the box, maybe, you know, Jesse Bates is lined up to the left, or, you know, shadowing to the high left, and you have the right side of the field, like, they have to win those matchups, because there are going to be some tough snaps for this team, because the Falcons certainly do have talent in that back secondary. Now, obviously, a big part of this is going to be, does Jalen get time in the pocket? Does the Eagles' offensive line hold up against the Falcons' defensive line? And we'll talk about that later in the week. But if it was a 7-on-7, I think the Eagles have the advantage, but the Falcons really do have a lot of talent with those three elite players they have back there. So it'll be a good test for Jalen to see if he can be smarter with the ball, not put the ball in harm's way, because if he does, the Falcons will most definitely make him pay for being reckless with the ball. So that will do it for our Tuesday pod. Me and James are recording a pod later today, so that will be in your feed soon as well. Thank you to everybody that's been listening to the pod. As you know, it means the world to me. And I will talk to you guys on Wednesday. And as we always say, he's Elliot, I'm James. I'll talk to you guys later.